Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Satterberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You can hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. Hit us up on the network at VSiN Live. We are monitoring two games in progress right now. We have Sunday Night Baseball between the Yankees and the Red Sox in the Bronx, and NBA Finals game number two between the Thunder and the Pacers. Right now in the Bronx, the Yankees are threatening, down 7-3 after the Red Sox put up a five spot in the top of the sixth inning. The Yankees have loaded the bases here in the bottom of the sixth, and with just one out, Jazz Chisholm is up with the bases loaded facing Brennan Bernardino, who came in relief of Hunter Dobbins. Carlos Rodon, five innings, three hits, five runs, two home runs allowed as his streak will come to an end. He had been so dominant here as Jazz will, fly out to left field. That'll be a sacrifice fly, so Yankees will get one run back. It'll be 7-4 Red Sox with first and second and two outs. Jazz Chisholm flying out, a sacrifice fly to left field. So up next for the Yankees will be Anthony Volpe looking to keep this inning alive. We'll get you the live numbers as soon as the inning ends, because it's really hard to just make these bets while the inning's in progress because your sportsbook's going to freeze and then all that stuff. But we might have a pitching change here, so that could give us some time to place a bet. Let's take a look at the live market right now. With a 7-4 game in the sixth inning, Red Sox now down to minus 600, Yankees plus 382. If you want to bet them to come back and win, your live total is 13.5. Live run line right now, -2.5 for the Red Sox is minus 120, plus 2.5 for the Yankees, minus 108. Let's take a look at what's going on in OKC, where with 3 minutes to go in the first half, Thunder with a 52-34 lead over the Indiana Pacers. Thunder are up to a -17.5 point favorite. They closed as 11.5 point favorites, and your live total down to 217.5. This game closed at 228. There was that one stretch here in the second quarter where, even though this game had gotten down into the 217 range, 216 range, it did kick back up into the 220 and 221s and then settled back down. Now it is 218.5 is the number here with 240 to go in the first half as the scoring continues to slow down a bit. Thunder missing a bunch of shots here. It seems like the Thunder have been sitting on 52 for a while now. As I look at the box score and see, they haven't made a basket since Shea scored. They've gone over 2 minutes without scoring a point here. So, and they continue to miss more shots. So this is this is the stretch that it's, as the Pacers make a three, I mean, this is the stretch that you're worried about here. If you're the Thunder, you had a double digit lead. You still do. It's 52-39, but you had a lead when Shea made that shot. You were up 52-29. This is now a 10-0 run by the Pacers in 2 minutes. A 10-0 run by the Pacers in 2 minutes. And all of a sudden, this is a completely different game. At 52-29, the Thunder were on the brink of a blowout. They literally could have stretched this to a 30-point lead. And instead, it is a 10-0 run for the Pacers in that two-minute span. We had a Shea turnover, bad pass turnover, then a Shea missed shot, an Aaron Wiggins missed shot, a Kenrick Williams backcourt turnover, then a Chet Holmgren missed three, a Jalen Williams missed three. Now the Thunder look like the sloppy Thunder that we saw at the start of this game. This is a bad two-minute stretch right now as Mark Daigneault calls a timeout after Aaron Nesmith makes that three. So 52-39, Thunder still lead the Pacers. They're still up double digits. They're still in range of covering the first half. But imagine you had, you're sitting here with the Thunder first half ticket -8.5. They're up 52-29, and you're thinking this is about to be a 30-point game. And instead, you watch the Pacers go on a 10-0 run. I mean, that's what the Pacers are capable of doing. That's what we have seen throughout this postseason. And yeah, I mean, we saw it in game one. Pacers were down 15 in the fourth quarter, and they won that game. So the Thunder just, they have to be better here coming out of this timeout. So we'll see how they adjust in these final 2 minutes here of the first half. And then once this gets to a half, we're going to break down the box score, take a look at some live player props, take a look at the live markets. Plus, we're going to be joined by, Terrell Furman Jr. from the Sports Gambling Podcast Network and Betting Pros. He's going to join us at the half to give us his take on what we saw so far in the first half and any live bets that he might have here for the second half. As a couple of shots have gone in now, 57-39 for the Thunder. So a good little stretch run here coming out of that timeout as they look to build back up this lead in the final 2 minutes of the first half. Thunder were 8 to 8.5 point favorites here in the first half, looking to cover that. Looks pretty good right now, and the live total is sitting towards, actually ticked up to an over now. Well, not in over for the game. Game closed at 228, but right now the live total is at 222.5. So this had dipped down as low as 217.5, maybe even lower. At least what I saw watching the market here was 217.5. Now up to 222.5 with a couple of shots made here by both of these teams. So 57-39 with 1:30 to go here in the first half. And then we'll take a look at the box score, see if, and just like I said it before, Shea was just a matter of minutes away from turning a 6-point first half into a big time first half. He's got 15 points now, and it hasn't been from 3-point range. He is 6 of 10 from the field, just 1 of 2 from 3-point range. So he hasn't taken another 3, and he only got to the free throw line one more time. So he is 1 of 2, 2 of 3, excuse me, from the free throw line. You don't remember, he only shot 8 free throws in game number 1. I expect him to shoot a ton more free throws in this game. As a team, the Thunder, 6 of 8 from the free throw line. Pacers, meanwhile, 3 of 5 from the free throw line. It is 59-40 with 1:17 left to go here in this first half as the Thunder will look to cover the first half and be on their way towards building, you know, having a big lead, maybe even a 20-point lead going into the second half. By the way, the team total for the Thunder in the first half, I believe, was 60. Might have been 60.5, but depending on your book. So 59-40 here with 45 seconds left in the half. As they say, important to some if you did place a bet on the team total for the Thunder in the first half. To see, just need one more basket or one more point for the push. Don't know, different books had different numbers, but I saw 60 last time that I had checked. I'm Scott Sattenberg. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Yankees with the bases loaded still here in the bottom of the sixth inning as they are looking to do some damage here, put up a crooked number, responding to the crooked number that the Red Sox put up in the top of the sixth inning. The Red Sox scoring 5 runs in the top of the sixth inning as the Yankee lead, which was 2-0, then it was a 2-2 game. Then the Yankees led 3-2. Red Sox went up 7-3 in the top of the sixth inning. A 3-run home run by Carlos Narvaez and then a Jaren Duran 2-run single with the bases loaded has made the game 7-3. Jazz Chisholm hit a sacrifice fly with the bases loaded here in the bottom of the sixth. So it is a 7-4 game right now. And Trent Grisham is up with the bases loaded once again after Anthony Volpe hit a infield single that advanced the runners. So waiting to see if Grisham can come through here for the Yankees or if the Red Sox get out of this jam. Meanwhile, there's just seconds remaining in the first half, and it is a 59-41 lead for the Thunder over the Pacers as the Thunder will cover the 8 points in the first half. But will they get their team total? Probably not, because it's 59. Looks like after these free throws, this is where the half will come to a close. So just waiting for the confirmation on this going to half, and then we will get you all the numbers here. 59-41 with 4 seconds left, and that's it. 59-41 is the half. So cash your Thunder first half tickets and cash your Pacers under team total first half as well. And guess what? On our miraculous same-game parlay that we talked about, the 7-leg, 150-1 same-game parlay, 4 for 4. Thunder cover the first quarter. Pacers go under their first quarter team total. Thunder cover the first half. Pacers go under their first half team total. We have three legs left to cash a 150-1. Those three legs, Pacers team total under 98.5, Shea to score 40 points, and that might be the hardest one of them all because Shea's only got 15 points here at the half, and Isaiah Hartenstein, 10 rebounds, he's got 4 rebounds. So if we can get 6 rebounds from Hartenstein in the second half, and if we can get 25 points from Shea in the second half, it's dicey. It's dicey. But like I said when I tweeted it out, it's not that crazy, right? Hey, start your day with an edge and a game plan. The VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast is your first look at the day's betting lines, sharp action, and market movement. In just 15 minutes, you're going to get everything you need to make smarter wagers and stay ahead of the line moves, all before your morning coffee's gone. Hosted by VSiN's team of trusted betting experts, the Daily Morning Bets podcast is fast, focused, and built for bettors like you. Listen to the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast wherever you get your podcasts or on the VSiN Watch app. The sharpest way to start your betting day is the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us up on the network at VSiN Live. Coming up next, we are at the half, and we will be joined by Terrell Furman Jr. from Betting Pros and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network to break down what we saw in the first half and second half bets of Thunder Pacers. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN.
Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And joining us now as we are at the half of the Thunder Pacers Game 2 of the NBA Finals on the Progressive Guest Line is Terrell Furman Jr. from Betting Pros and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Terrell, thanks so much for your time here as we have a Thunder lead 59-41 at the end of the first half. What did you make of what you saw in the first half so far?
Well, I mean, if we're going off of how the Pacers been playing the whole playoffs, I guess the Pacers got them right where they want them, being down like this at half. For me, I think that this is similar to how they played Denver in that series where they dropped that first game and they're like, all right, we're not letting this happen again. We're not going to let this team come back and beat us again here at home. So I like the energy that they came out with. I like the defense. I was on the Pacers team total under before the game, and I'm feeling good about that right now. But, you know, no jinx, knock on wood here. But I think that they got to go in and continue to play a high level of defense. And Dagnall is going into his coaching bag. He played the double big lineup when they had one of Pascal Siakam or Miles Turner off the floor. And there you see Thomas comes in with two fouls. Thomas Bryant, they're not being able to stop Chet. Chet has 11. So he's been good of, hey, we're going to throw the double big lineup when they're trying to give one of Pascal or Miles Turner some rest. And then they came back and took it right back out and been able to play them quick when they have them both on the floor. So I like what he's been doing early.
And we look right now at the box score. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander just 15 points in that first half. He had 6 points. Just 15 because, you know, we expect the guy scored 38 in game number one. We expect a ton of scoring. His prop was 34.5 in this game. He sat with 6 points for the majority of this first half until there was about 6 minutes or so left, and then he went on a little run there. But he's only gotten to the free throw line twice. He's 2 of 3 from the free throw line. That's something that I thought was going to change here in game number two. He only shot 8 free throws in game number one, and I fully expected that number to be almost double here in game number two. Are you surprised that we haven't seen Shea get to the line more?
Not really, because in this game, I kind of figured it to be a, all right, this was everybody. Everybody's all hands on deck, and we were going to see a bunch of role players come up big for them and be able to aid the scoring, and that's what happened in the early part of this game. Chet has been big early, and he's been able to do it. Now SGA's been able to roll later on in the game, but I think that's why I kind of like an SGA under 30.5 here for the live line here, just because OKC is up so big, and they hadn't need him to do that. He had his little moment in the first half. I don't know if that moment's going to come in the second half, because they're going to at some point decide, hey, we don't have to play this game anymore because we're possibly up 25 something plus points. And that brings me to my other bet. I'm going to just go ahead and take an alt line with OKC. I like 24 and a half. Like, I think that they're going to pull away in this second half because they saw how dangerous this team is. They let them hang around that first game. I think that they're just going to go ahead, pedal to the metal the whole second half.
I kind of agree with you there. It's to that point. They saw the Pacers' ability to come back. A 15-point lead is not safe. You know, they were up 15 in the fourth quarter, and they lost that game. And so it's kind of why, like, I do agree that maybe if this game gets to, you know, the 30-point range and we could see some bench players play. But I also think that maybe Mark Daigneault just will keep his starters in and just say, guys, like, we're not taking our foot off the gas here because – a 15 or 20 point lead is not safe against these Pacers. We need to keep scoring. And so I actually, if I'm looking at the second half, I like the Thunder in the second half because I agree with you. I think they stretch this lead. I think this game could get ugly. And I think I lean towards an over in the second half because I don't think the Thunder are going to stop scoring.
Yeah, I don't think the Thunder are going to stop scoring either. And it's the fact that they're getting contributions from everybody. Aaron Wiggins has come off with 8 points off the bench. You got Caruso with 8 points off the bench. Both of them have hit two threes. That's going to be really, really big. Kenrich Williams has came into the game, and he's playing very, very good minutes for them. So it's the fact that they're getting good minutes from everybody 10 deep. And if Isaiah Joe gets a couple of them threes to hit in the second half, yeah, I think this OKC team can run the score up. That's why I like the alt line of OKC, whatever, because this is the blowout game. This is how OKC wins games. We know them to win the big games by large margin. That's why the sharp money was on OKC to just go ahead and cover the spread tonight, because they win big games by large margins. So let's just go ahead and increase the margin and see how far we can go.
Looking at the adjusted team total here for the Oklahoma City Thunder, looks like it would be, let's see, 59. It looks like we're at 15. It would be 59 for the second half. Would that be something that you would lean towards an over for the Thunder, scoring more than they did here in the first half? Where are you on that prop?
59, that puts them at, 118 for the game?
Yep.
Yeah, I think 120 points against the Indiana Pacers here, especially at home, and how, like, you have to think, that was a really embarrassing loss. Like, that's all they've heard this entire time, how they blew that in the second half. So I think that psychology is going to come into this of, hey, we have to keep the foot on the gas. The bench is thinking, hey, we have to not let off a lead whenever SGA comes out of the game. J-Dub's not shooting the ball that great. All right, we got to be able to add on more scoring on top of that. Chet's having a good game. SGA's got it going right now, but I think it's going to be a lot of everybody else. The Isaiah Joes, the Wiggins, Caruso, Kenrich Williams being able to be a good playmaker, make smart decisions. I think that they're going to need all of that, and that's going to lead into a over on the team total for OKC. So I do like a play on that over on OKC's team total in the second half.
Who for the Pacers has to step up? Where would you be looking if you wanted to play any Pacers second half props?
They're going to need Nesmith and Nembhard. They're going to need them back, especially Nesmith. Nesmith started trying to get it going a little bit later in that first half, but he's going to have to hit all those shots and stay on the floor in the second half and be able to add that scoring, because they're not getting it from Tyrese Halliburton right now. Maybe he comes through for them in the clutch, but you got to get to a close game to get in the clutch for him to be able to turn on that gene and hit that 13 for 15 or whatever they had posted in the game. And so this is it. You got to have Nembhard. You got to have Nesmith. Hopefully Pascal Siakam can take advantage, and we'll see if Rick Carlisle makes that adjustment. When they go to that double big lineup, he just has to tell Miles Turner and Pascal Siakam, look, we need you to stay out there. If they're playing the double bigs, that's the matchups that we want. We want Turner, we want Miles and Pascal out there so that we can take advantage of those two defensively. But if he goes and they go double big and it's Thomas Bryant in the game, you can't really take advantage of the matchup. So I'm watching Rick Carlisle. Hopefully he makes that adjustment. Otherwise, you'll be able to add Pascal Siakam to those list of players who I think can have a good second half.
Pascal Siakam live points prop now 17 and a half. He has 9. Nembhard is at 15 and a half. He also has 9 points right now. For Tyrese Halliburton, meanwhile, 11 and a half is his live player point total. He's got just 3 points. I'm like kicking myself, Terrell, for not seeing this. Like, Tyrese Halliburton's done this before in these playoffs. He disappears in these games when he's playing with house money. He scores 31 in the game one against the Knicks. And then in game number two, playing with house money, he scores 14 points. He scores 32 in the monster game number four to take a 3-1 commanding series lead. And playing with house money, he just disappears and scores only 8 points in the game number 5 loss in New York. This is what he does.
He's a front runner. He's a front runner. That's why I personally don't like him, Scott. You about to get me on a rant and get the people in Vegas going because I don't like him. He's a front runner. He only talks when he's up big. And it's like, okay, I get it. You get the clutch shots and it's right there. And oh wow, okay. You hit the shot against the Knicks that bounced all the way up to the top of the Raptors and then just so happened to fall back in the basket. Yes, it all works out for you. But at the end of the day, it's what you just said. Like, he has these moments where, hey, you can put OKC in a coffin right now, just like you did the Cavs, just like you did the Knicks, and he's not playing to that level. So we'll see what they do in the second half. But I just don't think OKC is going to let them off easy in the second half, 2 games in a row, or at home here.
I agree with you. So again, to recap, best bets here coming for the second half. We do like OKC to stretch this lead. And so maybe playing OKC on the live line right now, or even looking at an alternate spread, thinking that this could be a 20 plus point victory. Thunder right now on the live line, -18.5. We like Shea, Terrell, you like Shea to go under his adjusted point prop right now of 30.5. You think it's going to be less scoring from Shea in the second half. And you co-signed my bet on the Thunder team total to go over 59 in the second half.
Yep. And that Pascal 17.5 looks pretty good.
That looks appealing to you?
Rick Carlisle just decides to play him and play him through when OKC decides to go double big. They're only going double big when he comes off the floor. So get him that little quick rest for a second, put him right back in the game, and let him be able to go at Chet, go at Hartenstein.
Hartenstein's live rebound prop is pretty much what it was before the game at 7.5. He's got 4 rebounds. Do we like him to get more minutes and more run here in the second half and maybe get over that 7.5 rebound prop?
I think he could get there. I think they can take advantage of the boards here, especially if they're going to let them throw out Thomas Bryant.
Yeah.
And clearly that's not a matchup that's good here. Bradley, not a matchup that's good here. If they're going to continue to throw them out there against Hartenstein, I like Hartenstein's chances to get the boards.
Terrell, great stuff, man. Appreciate the time and the insight. Continue great work with Betting Pros and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Enjoy the second half, man.
You too, Scott. Next time.
There he is, Terrell Furman Jr. from Betting Pros Against Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Joined us here on the Progressive Guest Line as we broke down what we saw here in the first half and our best bets for the second half. I do like the Thunder to go over this team total in the second half. I think it's going to be a big second half performance because they know they cannot let the Pacers get back into this game. They'll stretch this lead. They'll score more points. Thunder will score over 118 in this game. I'm Scott Seidenberg. We'll update you on what's going on in the Bronx coming up next. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the sports betting network. Always on Twitter at Scott's on air and at VSiN Live as the second half is underway. Thunder now with a 62-46 lead here in the third quarter, just early on into the third quarter, so not much scoring. 5-3, the Pacers leading in this third quarter over the Thunder. Your live number right now is what it was when we started the second half. Thunder -18.5. Your total is down to 216.5. Remember, there were stretches in this second quarter where it got up to 222.5. But right now at 216.5, Thunder did close 11.5 point favorites. Total did close at 228. And to recap, as part of our Killer Sports VSiN NBA Playoffs Challenge, first place, Zachary Cohn up on VSiN.com, tied with professional bettor Steve Fezzik and our very own Gil Alexander in third place. Gil was on the under 228.5 and looking good right now, live total of 216.5. And Fez was on the Thunder -11. Right now, Thunder live line -20.5, up 66 to 46. So a 20-point lead here for the Thunder. And I'll be honest, like, I think OKC is going to score a ton of points here in the second half because they cannot let up. They absolutely cannot let up. They were up 15 points in the fourth quarter of game number 1 and lost. That has to be on everybody's minds. And so they know no lead is safe. There's no sitting back. A 20-point lead is not safe against these Indiana Pacers. So you have to keep grinding. You have to keep pushing. And you have to keep scoring. I took a shot on the over 59 for the team total for the Thunder here in the second half. They scored 59 points in the first half, and on, as a whole, on the game right now, shooting 53.1% from the field, 26 of 49, 8 of 20 from three-point range, but only 6 of 8 from the free throw line. And, I mean, the refs are letting them play here because the Pacers are 7 of 11 from the free throw line. So we haven't seen a ton of free throws yet in this game. They're letting them play. I mean, this is a stark contrast from what we've seen in other series, and especially like with the Pacers. Like, remember in those Pacers-Knicks games, there was like 70 free throws in those games. It was insane. It was like the Pacers would shoot 30 free throws, the Knicks would shoot 36 free throws. Like, we saw crazy numbers of free throws in those games. Not so much in this series right now. In game number one, Shea only got to the line eight times. He only shot 8 free throws. I was shocked by that. In game number one, Pacers 15 of 21 from the free throw line. Thunder 21 of 24. Okay, that's 45 free throws in that game. So far in this game, we had 45 free throws in game number one. In this game, we've only had 20, which means we could be headed towards 20 more free throws attempts in this game. So I got to think that the scoring is going to pick up. And, you know, maybe it's from Shea, maybe it's from others, but I got to believe the scoring picks up here and the Thunder extend this lead, or at the very least, maintain this lead, because they know that they have to keep scoring against this Pacers team. You absolutely cannot let up. Speaking of continuing to score, that's what the Boston Red Sox are doing here against the Yankees. So the Yankees scored 2 runs in the bottom of the 6th inning as they shortened the lead from 7-3 to 7-5. And Abraham Toro has just hit a solo home run in the top of the 8th inning for the Red Sox as they have extended their lead to 8-5 over the Yankees. This is not a good series for the Bronx Bombers, who won the first game 9-6 over the Red Sox as Anthony Volpe homered and the Yankees scored 5 runs in the first inning in that game. And they were up 7-0. The Yankees were up 7-0 in game number one and won the game 9-6. So think about that. They were up 7. They won the game by 3. In the second game of this series, the Yankees once again had early opportunities, up 3-1. Red Sox score 5 runs in the third inning. Then the teams go back and forth. Yankees score 2 runs late, only to give up 2 more runs in the top of the ninth and turn an 8-7 game into a 10-7 game. And then here tonight, Aaron Judge gives the Yankees a 2-run lead early. They're up 2-0. Then it's 2-2. Then the Yankees take a 3-2 lead. Red Sox score 5 in the top of the sixth. Yankees respond with 2 in the bottom. And then the Red Sox have just put up 2 runs now in the top of the 8th inning, back-to-back home runs by Abraham Toro and Trevor Story off of Jonathan Loaisiga here in the top of the 8th inning. This Yankee bullpen is a problem. I'm telling you right now, and it's not just losing Luke Weaver in the back end of the bullpen and having to rely on Devin Williams, who's a guy that, you know, you certainly don't trust, but this Yankee bullpen is a problem. And I think it is going to be the number one thing that the Yankees look to address in the trade market as we progress throughout the summer is relief pitching. Because these arms, they don't have guys that you can rely on. Looking at bullpen ERA, they came into this game with a bullpen ERA of, 3.66, which is not the best. It's not the, it's not the best, but it's middle of the pack. It's not the worst, though. But it feels like lately, it has been. In fact, I'm going to look that up. I'm going to look up some numbers here on the Yankees bullpen. But I can tell you right now, there's just no one that you trust. You're looking at the arms. It's like Cruz, Hill, Loaisiga. They're giving up runs here. Home runs left and right. The rest of that bullpen, you certainly don't trust Devin Williams. Ian Hamilton was the guy who gave up the runs in the ninth inning last night. Lighter. Like, who do you trust in this Yankee bullpen? It's got to be the number one thing that they look to address at the trade deadline, is to bring in relief pitching. Or maybe even, I don't know, maybe you find a way to, if you have a starter and you kind of transition, as the Yankees would go to the bullpen again. I mean, this is bad. This game might get out of hand. Live total right now between the Yankees and the Red Sox is at 15.5. 9-5. Wait a minute. Did the Red Sox just hit another home run? Did that just happen? No. Two runs, right? Yeah. Two runs, home runs. Yeah. Toro and Story. 8-5, then 9-5. That's what it is. Okay. As I was about to say, not a third home run. My goodness. But the live total is at 15.5. You are in the top of the eighth, though. So at least you're going to get the Yankees to bat twice. Bottom of the eighth, bottom of the ninth. The Red Sox will have another opportunity in the top of the ninth to score some runs. They can still score here in the top of the eighth. So you're at 14 runs right now. Do you get two more runs for the rest of this game? I mean, I would lean towards the yes, because Hendricks coming in for the Yankees, he's got a 4.22 ERA. I certainly don't know if I trust him to not give up a run. And we know what the Yankee offense is capable of doing. It's just a bloop and a blast. You're scoring two runs right then and there. I'm not betting the Yankees to come back and win this game or even come back and make it close. But at 9-5, let's say this lead stays at 4. Red Sox aren't going to bring in Aroldis Chapman, you don't think. He pitched last night. Plus, he had that awkward tumble when he covered first last night. So I would imagine that they don't want to go to Chapman tonight, especially if it's a non-save situation. I don't hate it. Especially a little plus money price, plus 128 on a live over. You just need two more runs here. You got the eighth, you got two more innings. There's only one out here in the eighth. So you got the Red Sox the rest of this eighth, Yankees bottom of the eighth, Red Sox top of the ninth, Yankees bottom of the ninth. You need two runs to cash this at a plus money price. I would take a shot on it. I'd take a shot on it. All right, we have 7:30 to go in the third quarter. The Thunder with a 68-54 lead over the Pacers. So a little bit of a run here from Indy as they were down 20. Now they're only down 14. Live line is Thunder minus 15.5. And the total is at 218.5. A 13-9 looks like here. Let's do the math real quick. 13-9 is the lead for the Pacers in this third quarter. So it has been a low-scoring third quarter for the Thunder. Not good for my Thunder second half team total to go over. But remember, it was at this point in the second quarter where the Thunder started to pull away. The final 7 minutes of the second quarter was when they had their biggest stretch offensively. That's when we saw the live total start to kick towards the over, and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander went from 6 points to 15 points. So right now the Thunder could be about to make their run. Well, the NBA Finals are underway. So is the Stanley Cup Final. ProfitX, our partner, is offering the best odds all playoffs long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states. It's the first of its kind in the U.S., so you're going to be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sportsbooks, and exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with code VSIN. Earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. I'm Scott Satterberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSIN.
Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Satterberg, here with you on VSiN, the sports betting network. You can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live as we're keeping an eye on the action. NBA Finals, game number two, and Sunday Night Baseball in the Bronx. Yankees and Red Sox are headed to the bottom of the eighth inning, with Boston holding a 9-5 lead over the Yankees as they head to the bottom of the eighth. It'll be Paul Goldschmidt, Jazz Chisholm, and Anthony Volpe due up for the Yankees. And your live line right now on the spread, I'm not going to talk about the money line because it's absurd right now. Although if you think the Yankees score five runs in the bottom of the eighth and bottom of the ninth, you can get them at plus 1160. But if you think the Yankees have one run in them, well, plus 3.5 is plus 135, or You can take the over 14.5 at minus 158. And so all you'll need is one run from either the Yankees or the Red Sox, because you're at 14 right now with a 9-5 lead for Boston going to the bottom of the eighth inning. All right, the Thunder with about a little under 5 minutes to go, 4:42 to go in the third quarter. It is a 79-62 lead for the Thunder. So OKC did pick up the scoring a little bit there. Now it's a 21-20 lead for the Pacers in this third quarter. Thunder closed the second half at -1. And we did play the Thunder second half team total to go over 59. So we need a lot more points here from the Thunder. And they should know, no lead is safe here against the Pacers. The Pacers are capable of going on runs at any moment here. So we'll see if they could continue to pull away, as the Pacers are never out of any game. They have shown that multiple times. And with every miss by the Thunder, with every empty possession by the Thunder, the Pacers are a three-pointer away from all of a sudden getting right back into the game. So keeping an eye on what's going on here. Let's take a look at the live lines right now. 79-64. Thunder lead the Pacers with 3:50 to go in regulation. Thunder -15.5. They were 11.5-point favorites to close. Total is now 221.5. So the total has ticked up to 221.5. It closed at 228. And, you know, if the Pacers find a way to get back in this, like, forget about, you know, being live to win the game. I mean, we're talking about spread drama here. For anybody that laid the 11.5 with the Thunder, you were looking good the entire way here. But this third quarter, Pacers not giving up here, as they right now 80-64 is the lead for the Thunder. It is a 23-21 third quarter in favor of the Pacers. So we'll keep an eye on that. As far as your box score is concerned, Shea's got 21 points to lead all scorers right now. And his number was just overwhelmingly high at 34.5 prior to this game. 4 of 5 from the free throw line, though, for Shea. So we'll see if he can get more free throw attempts. But 21 points for the MVP on 8 of 15 shooting. Chet Holmgren's got 11 points. Jalen Williams with 14. 3 from Lou Dort. 4 from Cason Wallace. And 13 from Alex Caruso off the bench, 11 from Aaron Wiggins off the bench, 2 from Isaiah Joe, 1 from Isaiah Hartenstein. Hartenstein, just 4 rebounds. So not a lot of action. 17 minutes for Hartenstein. That's what he played in game number 1. So maybe Hartenstein gets more run here in the fourth quarter, especially if this game continues to, you know, maybe get into blowout range. But would love to see some more rebounds from Isaiah Hartenstein, who, again, just has 4 rebounds now in 17 minutes of play. He had 9 rebounds in game number 1. For the Pacers, Pascal Siakam's got 15 points. If you played that live over that we talked about at the half, he's, 3 points away from cashing that live over of 17.5. 15 points for Pascal Siakam, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. So getting to the line, good job there for Siakam. 8 points for Aaron Nesmith, 14 for Miles Turner, 11 from Andrew Nembhard, just 5 points from Tyrese Haliburton, 3 from Obi Toppin, 3 from TJ McConnell, 5 from Benedict Mathurin. And the the Tyrese Haliburton thing, I am so upset for not betting this. I have so much betting FOMO. Like, this was so obvious. We have seen this from Tyrese Haliburton. He is all talk and all swag when things are going his way, and he is making the clutch shots and he is pulling the Pacers back from the depths. But when playing with house money, and what is house money? Well, that's this situation right now. They win game 1 after being down 15 in the fourth quarter. They got what they wanted, which was a split of games 1 and 2 in Oklahoma City. Now they're 11.5-point dogs for game number 2. So playing with house money, they don't need this win. It would be nice to get it, but they don't need it. It feels like Tyrese Haliburton disappears in these games. Let's look at the track record here in this postseason. Okay, so a game 1 win in New York last series, 31 points in overtime. We know the clutch numbers, incredible. Only 14 points in game number 2. Pacers still won that game, but only 14 points. He scores 32 in game number 4 as the Pacers took a 3-1 series lead, and then he does nothing in game number 5, scoring just 8 points on 2 of 7 shooting. He scored 14 points, which wasn't a big-time effort, but he had 10 boards, 6 assists, 6 of 13 from the field, 14 points, including the clutchest of all clutch shots, as he continues to be the hero for the Pacers in these playoffs. But tonight in this game, Tyrese Haliburton, 1 of 5 from the field. 5 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. This is a disappearing act from Tyrese Haliburton. Frankly, I thought it was comical that, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the overwhelming favorite to be the MVP prior to the series. I mean, the line is very similar to what the series line was. So the Thunder were minus 750. He was minus 600. Then the Thunder lose game one. They're minus 300 to win the series. And Shai moves to minus 300 to be the MVP. So, or minus 280. So it makes sense. The fact that Haliburton became the second favorite to win the MVP and his odds shortened after the game number one heroics, I understand the great shot in game number one, but MVPs don't pull these disappearing acts. And honestly, I think that game that he disappeared against the Knicks in game number 5 is the reason why Pascal Siakam was the Eastern Conference Finals MVP and not Tyrese Haliburton. Because Siakam didn't disappear in any game. And look at what's happening tonight. Pascal Siakam's doing it all for the Pacers. 15 points, 6 boards, 4 assists. Yeah, he's not shooting well from the field. He's 3 of 10, but he's getting to the free throw line. 8 of 9 from the line. Tyrese Haliburton hasn't shot a free throw yet. And he's got 5 points on 2 of 7 shooting, 1 of 5 from 3-point range, just 3 rebounds and 4 assists. This is 3 turnovers also. This isn't a good effort here from the clutchest player on the floor right now. I'm Scott Satterberg, always on Twitter, at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network, at VSinLive. As I want to remind you guys about EdgeBoost, the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved, no usage fees, no minimums, and you can earn cash back rewards. 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code LIVE. Deposit $25 and EdgeBoost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. They just showed Tyrese Haliburton on the bench. He looks like he had this like daze, this like look in his eyes like the game was already over. And it's the Pacers. No game's ever over, right? Like, they can score. They can go on a crazy barrage of three-pointers and pull themselves to within 10. And next thing you know, it's striking distance, right? So 83 to 67, like, they're not out of the game with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. But yet, that was a bad, you know, bad look, bad body language, whatever you want to call it there, on the sidelines or on the bench there for Haliburton. Major League Baseball, Sunday Night Baseball. Let's look at what's going on here as the Yankees threatening a little bit here in the bottom of the eighth inning. There's one out in the bottom of the eighth. The Yankees have runners on second and third, and the Red Sox are making a pitching change as they will go to Greg Weissert out of the bullpen to face off against Trent Grisham. So Weissert in to face Grisham. Yankees one swing away from making this thing very interesting. 9-5, two runners on, bottom of the eighth inning. This could get interesting here in the Bronx. Live number right now, your live total is up to 15.5. You could have gotten it at 14.5 prior to the inning beginning. Yankees on the run line now, +2.5 is +120. So looks like the expected runs are playing into the factor here of the market changing, because with runners on second and third and less than two outs, like, they are expected to score at least one run here, maybe, you know, with a sacrifice fly or whatnot. But let's see what Grisham can do against Weissert coming out of the bullpen, if the Yankees can make this very interesting here in the bottom of the eighth inning. Coming up next, we're going to transition, get into the Stanley Cup Final. Game number 3 is tomorrow as the series shifts to Sunrise, Florida. Josh Ingles from Covers will join me, Scott Seidenberg, coming up next, right here on Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.